standing strong while I'm going and I'm striving. I'm relying on myself for as long as I'm surviving. Taking no excuses because your words are just useless. Kick off the dust and let's do this.
Welcome to our podcast called Remedy. It's a human awakening, and it's something that my friend Corey and I have discussed at length. We both had some ideas in the past that we've been toiling around in our minds with, and then the powers that be put us together in the same room at the same time, and we came up with this idea to create a podcast to help humans be better humans, or different humans, or whatever it is you're looking for. Right?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, I think it's helping promote the conversation about self-betterment, whether that be physical ailments, mental health, you know, is that everyone is struggling with something at every point in time in their life, whether it's adversely affecting them in the moment or not, doesn't mean it's not there. But if we're not looking for potential issues, then I think we can be caught off guard and overwhelmed at times at how to respond.
Yeah. And I think as we sat here and thought about what we want to do to help ourselves work through some things, and at the same time as working through those things, help other people. If we can record what our discussions are and put it out there and somebody finds that and it helps make it even a little better, I think that's something we can both really get behind. And as we've kind of moved through this space, you know, everybody's on social media these days. Everybody sees the outpouring of need for mental health issues, self-help issues, physical betterment. Both Corey and I struggle with weight, struggle with working out, struggle to be healthier versions of ourselves. And we see such a need for this stuff to talk about it. And we thought, since we're always having these conversations, why don't we do something a little bit more formal? And so that's what our goal is for this podcast, is to really have a platform to engage each other in meaningful conversation for the betterment of ourselves. And in doing so, hopefully somebody else can find some value in that. But as we grow and as we evolve on this podcast, to really take it to some different levels, and it's sometimes uncomfortable levels with things that aren't widely talked about when it comes to mental health, physical health, societal issues, if you will, just the overall, again, it's why we're calling it Remedy and the human awakening. It made sense when I said it to you the first time, and now I just draw a blank on it. So I'm going to write it on the wall right behind your head. So every time I look at you, it makes sense. But yeah, so we're starting on podcasts. I think down the road, we have some bigger plans for some video type stuff, for some live broadcast stuff. All our social media rollouts will be coming along with this podcast launch. So we're really excited about it.
Yeah, I think it's been a big trend lately, trying to reduce the stigma related to mental health issues and promoting the conversations that people should be having, not only with themselves, but with each other. And, you know, I think it's important that people become more comfortable with being uncomfortable with things that they may not like about themselves. I know for me, maybe it's pretty relatable to a lot of people, that you don't want to go to the gym. You don't want to get up and go for that walk. You don't want to do the dishes, the laundry, what have you. But generally, when you complete that task, you feel a lot better, right? You're no longer carrying that stress, that burden. You know, I mean, those things are living rent-free in your head, and they're not helping you accomplish goals. You know, they're taking away from your enthusiasm and motivation to do things. And I've found great success in discussing the things that I'm struggling with. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think all of us, our collective friend group that's bigger than just us too. Fortunately, we have more friends than just each other. We found a lot of value in Andy Frisella's podcast, the different ones that he's had over the years, the MFCO project, and then his Real AF stuff that he has now. It's helped us. And I think it's a message that needs to be out there more. So, I think I envision this as somewhat of a tribute to what he's doing, but definitely I don't want to emulate him or rip him off in any way and be a little Andy Jr. type of thing. So I think we're going to be as bold and daring as he is on a lot of topics, but take our own spin on things and see where we can go with topics that do need a lot more forceful conversation. I think the market is saturated with a lot of self-help stuff out there. Feel good about yourself. Do this. Love yourself as you are. And there's a lot of kindness involved in this stuff. And I don't think that that's a bad thing. But when people are struggling and when people are hurting and when people are, and let's face it, folks, over the 2020, none of that shit got better. So as we all sit here and try to work our way through this existence, this human condition that we have, there are times where they're like hand-holding and coddling isn't really going to do you any favors. And I think that's where Corey and I have found a bond with each other in the fact that we're comfortable being uncomfortable with some of the issues we've discussed, some of the places we've gone personally together. That sounds weird when we say it that way. we both completed the 75 hard challenge and things like that, where you realize some of the topics that were discussed in his podcast and why they matter. And then having gone through on some of these journeys we have, and really at the beginning of these journeys still, I think we're finding that there needs to be some boldness in some of the topics that are covered. And sometimes we might say things on this podcast that are contrary to the popular mantra of love yourself as you are, when we both know that's great if you can sell yourself that fucking lie, but very few people can. And so when you don't love yourself as you are, what do you need to do about it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, I think one of the things we both enjoy, and I think a lot of people enjoy about Andy's podcast specifically, is his authenticity. He's unapologetically himself. And that is the type of likeness that I hope to capture in this podcast. I'm far from perfect. And I'm okay with that, right? I mean, this is an exercise in doing something that's challenging myself. I'm horribly uncomfortable, you know, sitting there having a conversation and then share it with however many people choose to listen to it, right? And being criticized and critiqued by them. But I won't better myself if I don't go through this exercise, right? And so at the end of the day, you know, having the opportunity to help share our experiences and maybe potential solutions that we found to things that have affected us negatively in our lives, and that benefiting someone else, you know, there's also the ancillary benefit of challenging myself and going through the exercise of being uncomfortable to hopefully personally grow and develop, you know, while going through this process. And I think it's, I don't know what the right word for it is. You know, I mean, interesting one way of looking at it is the fact that we ended up becoming friends through mutual friends. And we just happened to be at a point in time in our lives where we were both challenging ourselves and going through changes. And for whatever reason, you know, that started a conversation that snowballed into very deep personal conversations about things that have affected us and continue to affect us in our lives. And we've both been able to challenge and hold each other accountable through that, you know, and going through, you know, like the 75 hard program. You know, there's a lot of commonalities there, but then we're also our very own, very different people. And, you know, having that someone that understands, you know, the things that you've gone through and understands what it feels like to challenge yourself, but also has very different life experience so they can bring a new perspective to it, I think is helpful. And if we're not sharing these thoughts and feelings with others, then we kind of get stuck in our own head, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And as we move into the part where we're kind of introduce ourselves and talk about our backgrounds, I think it's important to also put out there, we're not professionals at this. We are just two people that lead pretty average lives, that do pretty average things and have the same struggles as everybody else. And as we try to navigate those struggles, learning that stuff and becoming more comfortable sharing it with each other led us to this point of, hey, why don't we record ourselves talking about the things that we've learned? But we're still very early on in our own personal journeys. And as anybody that knows that's trying to work on themselves, this is a lifelong endeavor. This isn't something that, oh, I'm going to be really good and I'm going to do this stuff. I'm going to read this really fucking awesome book on Amazon on how to fix myself in 6 months. And then you're just done and over it. We're not remodeling houses here. We're doing something akin to a martial arts that is a lifelong endeavor for self-improvement. And you'll have days where you're better at it and you'll have days where you really suck at it, but you just keep trying. And so we really want to put that out there that we don't know it all. I would say that in the grand scheme of things, we know very little, but the things we do know have been hard fought. We've learned them through our own personal trials and tribulations. And I think what really drew me to Corey was the fact that he's interested in this stuff in the same way that I am. And as we learn more and as we really do this podcast, we're going to be forced to research topics that we may know very little about. We may be posed with questions. We hope to engage our audience tremendously in having people write in and ask us questions that maybe we can do some research on if we don't know the answers on. We're going to have guests on here. And as we do that, that's going to push us into some places where we're way out of our league. So please don't take us as we were licensed or accredited or anything. This is all things that we've learned and grown and studied, and we have a passion for, and we just hope to share it with you. So with that in mind, tell us a little bit about yourself, Corey. Who are you? What makes you tick?
Who am I? What makes me tick? Shiny things definitely makes me tick.
Electric bikes.
Yes. Yes. E-bikes for sure. No, I would like to think of myself as a simple person. Yet everyone I talk to, and when I say that, you're not a simple person. You're very difficult and you're very complicated. But
that's humans.
Yeah, no, absolutely. My husband, father, small business owner. I love mountain biking. I love fishing. I really just enjoy, good company with people. I enjoy, where these conversations can go and how they can elicit new thoughts and feelings about things and having to go through the exercise of working and processing that information and how does it make me feel and should I feel this way? So really reflecting and analyzing, breaking down, I guess, what would be the right way of saying it? To where I think they're evolution, right? We're programmed to survive. And so we have like these instinctual responses to things, and it could be good or bad, be happy or sad. And I think a lot of times we're constantly responding to things that are happening to us instead of taking proactive measures or slowing something down to really think about it. So someone can cut you off, and next thing you know, you're motherfucking them and you're going down the road, you're pissed off. And now you're thinking about that guy for the next couple hours into your day, where it's like, hey, maybe he didn't see something. He was distracted by a smell, like completely unintentional, right? But we make it personal, and that lives with us, right? And so for me, it's being able to really try to understand, why do I do the things that I do? Why do I feel the way that I feel about them? And so while I'm out fishing, I'm a very social person. So it's like, I don't like doing things by myself. And so I like having good company, and I've really subscribed to the idea that you are a byproduct of your environment. And if you surround yourself with negative people, you're going to develop a negative perspective and things like that, or you're going to extend a lot of energy trying to combat that or trying to help those other people maybe not be so negative and whatnot. And if people don't want to change, they're not going to, no matter how much you want someone to change or be better for themselves, they have to want it, for themselves. And they have to have really good motivation. Otherwise, you're going to struggle to persevere on those days that are difficult. And so for me, that's kind of become like the new shiny thing in my life is how can I better understand the various tools and resources and relationships that I have at my disposal? How can that impart value in my life? And in turn, how can I help teach my son to look at the world in a different way instead of being told how to perceive it, whether that's social media or marketing, TV, things like that. So yeah, I know that's not the best answer to who am I and what makes me tick, but that is genuinely something that motivates me on a daily basis, is trying to better myself and better understand how I can interact with people and how I can add value to my life. And then being able to share that with my son, because he's only 11, he's got his entire life ahead of him. And if he could learn how to better navigate the adversity that he'll experience in life sooner than I did, which I'm just now starting to figure it out at 35 years old, I think that he'll have a better chance of having more control in his own life than I did as a young adult.
Nice. And obviously, as we move through these episodes, we'll learn more about each other and your background, family history, and what led you to the places you are now, and the successes and failures and everything like that. So, know more about you every time we do this.
Yeah, but, no, it's funny. It starts queuing up thoughts and memories of things that I've suppressed. And I'm sure at some point in my life intentionally avoided, you know, it's just like not going there. Don't want to think about it. Bury that thing as deep a hole as I can find in my mind and just never, you know, uncover it. And then sitting here having this conversation, it's like, oh man, I need to really continue to explore those thoughts, yes, you know, and those emotions so I can do something with it. And, you know, I mean, one of the biggest proponents for us doing this podcast is, you know, what you were doing on Instagram with Mental Health Mondays. You know, I really enjoyed, you know, the content and I guess the conversation, you know, and how willing you seem to be incredibly vulnerable and talking about some deeply personal things, and you're putting out there for everyone to judge you. And it was like, wow, like I respected the hell out of it. And some of the topics and things that you covered really engaged me in a way and really required me to stop and think more about what I was doing and how I was acting, you know, with myself and with others. And, you know, having talked about doing a podcast, you know, casually in the past, you know, I think it's awesome that I'm able to share in this journey and the continuation of what Mental Health Mondays had become and turn it into a more, I think, viable concept that will reach more people and have a more concerted message, right? Because obviously if I keep going down this road, people are going to be confused because they don't know much about you at this point. So yeah. why don't you bring them up to speed?
So no, that's a great jumping off point for that. So I'll kind of touch on that and then work backwards to what got me to there. So I run a dog training business called Gold Hill Canine. And over the years I've been doing that, about five now, I'm very heavily involved in social media. We built a bit of a platform. And as I've been on this journey myself with mental health and mental health struggles, I started thinking about what can I do? Well, I'd been challenged by people to try some different stuff. Every once in a while when I do something that just addressed topics like that, to even make it broader, a lot of the clientele we deal with in the dog world and a lot of the struggles that the dogs are having stem from owner issues, their anxiety, their stress, their trauma, these unresolved things that are somehow, we still haven't quite figured out exactly what's happening, but they are actually affecting their dog. And the reason we see that is as soon as the people leave the scene and we're involved with them, the dogs are better. So there's something going on with this human condition that these animals are picking up on. And as we've trained more and more and more, we've realized we actually are becoming quasi-therapists. We actually talk to the humans so much about what's going on with them to figure out why these dogs are affected and to try to move these people to a little bit better mental space, that it seemed natural on that platform to talk about mental health struggles, because I have dealt with plenty of my own and my wife Liz has, and because it's a big prevalent topic. So like, let's use that. So we started that thing called Mental Health Mondays. It was some YouTube videos. I got in way over my head on that. I had said I'm going to put out a video a week and in conjunction with a live Instagram per week as well. I did four of those, I believe, maybe five, but pretty sure I did four, and that was a lot. And then, of course, me being me, I decided to break off more than I could chew every single, not just do that, but hey, why don't we have multiple camera angles this week? And then I don't know how to do that, so I have to research that. So it became this overwhelming burden that I scaled back and went, I'm going to drop the video portion of it because I'm just buried on that on our Gold Hill Canine page. But we still did the Instagram lives, and I was pretty proud that I think I did about 24 or 25 of those and didn't miss one as far as I recall, until the night my wife crashed her mountain bike and broke her collarbone. I had to stop in the middle of a live and go rescue her from the trail. But as I got farther into that, I realized that my dog training page and what it's about was and because I had started moving a little bit away from doing a lot of social media on that, it was pretty much like a picture of a dog for the week at best. Oh, and then Mental Health Monday. And so from a marketing perspective, I'm looking at that, people looking at my page going, what the hell is this? So this guy sits here with a lie. Like all I see is a bunch of lives with a picture of a dog head somewhere in between that every once in a while. And I don't understand what the message is here. And while it was a great platform for the people that already knew me and followed for that stuff, and I really, really loved that we were reaching people and it became way more interactive, from a strictly business standpoint, I went, this isn't quite makes sense anymore. It seemed like a great idea at the time, and it evolved into something that was more than that page could handle. And so in Corey and his friend John had me on a podcast that they were doing. And then I've been on a couple other podcasts that folks on the internet have done, and I really like the platform. So about the same time as I'm trying to figure out what's a better way to do this, Corey is like, hey, we're doing this. And same thing. It's like struggling to get it going, struggling to keep it going. And so we started talking to each other a lot about what makes sense to us. And we decided to, I didn't abandon my Gold Hill Canine, but that is now just mostly pristine for dog stuff. And he pivoted from what he was doing, and we created this thing, Remedy, together. And coming up with the name with it was a long, just like, that was a struggle to do. But we really want it to be something amazing. And I think that this is the right platform for us both to find our successes in, that we were hoping to find in these other venues. He's been through a couple iterations of these podcasts to find exactly what is true to him and honor him. I've heard some of them, and they took some interesting turns and twists and stuff. And I think they kind of just evolved into things that didn't work. Not to speak for you, but I will. And same thing for me, that platform ran its course in the time that we did it. So my last guest was actually a young lady about 15 years old that had had some suicidal ideations. She's the daughter of one of our clients who had become our friends. And so I was like honored to have her on the podcast, or not podcast, but the live. And that's how we kind of ended that, was like, this is a really great thing. And that really actually showed me we need to move past that. The fact that this young girl is sitting here spilling out some really, really heavy stuff, and I'm getting some like really positive feedback from it, and her dad's like all choked up, and I'm getting choked up. And like, it was such a meaningful, profound conversation. And I just thought, I'm limiting that drastically by having it on the dog training page. And this thing needs more honor than that. So that's how we got here. That's how I started that whole thing, and how Corey found Mental Health Mondays. And we may do something similar along those lines down the road as this evolves. But the reason I needed to create something like that was my own personal journey. I've been in law enforcement for over 20 years. I'm medically retired due to PTSD and acute stress, trauma, like you name it, all that stuff. So all kinds of fun things. And in the process of going to PTSD specific counseling about 85 times, reading books, doing like, why am I the way I am? What, like personality wise, behavior patterns wise, mental health struggles. I deal with depression, well, daily, as anybody with depression does, anxiety, stress, all the same stuff. And I started going, okay, if I'm going to heal myself, quote, and I did that in huge air quotes, if I'm going to attempt to heal myself daily and move towards this healthier space, I need to learn more about it, because you kind of, like Corey said earlier, you live your early life unaware of everything. You blow through life like your hair is on fire. And then suddenly you get probably about in your 30s and you start going, oh, okay, well, I've been married now 4 times. I have a career behind me as I move out of that and separate from that in fashions I didn't envision. And I deal with the trauma of a 20 plus year career in that. And I raise a daughter and have another one on the way. How do I rebuild myself, and how do I repair myself, the parts that are repairable? How do I become healthier? And it's been a really eye-opening experience for me. So at the tender age of 46 years old now, I a couple of years ago found mountain biking, and then more specifically recently found e-biking. And that's what brought Corey and I together and our group of friends, and using that as mental health training is not the word I'm looking for, but as using it as a mental health journey and an exercise, I guess you could be literally and figuratively. It's taught me some things, and I'm still, now I go, okay, so there's so many other things in life I wanted to learn about, but this is probably the most important. This is what's going to keep me healthy, for my family, for my daughter, for my wife, my my new daughter, for my friends. This is what allows me to be less of a miserable prick every day. Some of them might not agree with that based on the ball busting I do on our group texts and stuff. But how do I make myself more tolerable to the general public? But really, how do I make myself more tolerable to me? How do I become a version of something that I'm happier with when I look in the mirror first thing in the morning? So yeah, that's my struggles in a nutshell.
Do you ever, so I developed this thought, I don't know, a couple months ago. And I used to always kind of like chuckle at the pre-flight safety protocols that they cover when you fly on a plane, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, like make sure you put a mask on yourself first, then to assist anyone else. And I always, you know, for the most part, I don't like people telling me what to do. And so like, it just, I never enjoyed it. It's like, okay, yeah, if the fucking plane crashes, like I'm sure if I'm still alive at that point, like there's going to be bigger fucking fish to fry. Like, I don't know where to be going through. But they, I always kind of like chuckled about the whole like mask thing. Right. And because random people on the plane will ask, like, it's just like first time fucking flying, like what's going on? Like you get the little cards in the seat backs you got to look at. And it's just like, how fucking keep it simple, stupid are we trying to get here? But then I had the thought of self-love, right? And you got to take care of yourself. You know, you have to be a good version of yourself before you can be good to someone else. And my son has been the one that's really challenged me in that. And I think it's like the simplest comparison is that just like you need to put a mask on yourself, you know, so you don't pass out, so you can help other people, you have to take care of yourself before you can help others. And I think people are so fixated on how other people perceive them that they shortchange the relationship and going, well, I can impart this value on them, therefore it's a good relationship, while maybe you're not getting anything in return, or you're struggling and that's not getting any attention. And as time will tell, right, you know, those relationships, you know, they expire, right? You know, they can come to an abrupt end, or it can kind of just fizzle out because it's not built off anything sustainable. You know, and so it's that self-talk, that conversation that we have with ourselves sets the tone for how that day is going to be, and developing skills to respond to adversity, whether it's self-induced or from an external source. You know, I think that that is something that you can, you'll never master, right? No. You know, and it's something you'll always be chasing, you know, but if you're not working on it, you know, you'll develop atrophy. And, you know, it's, I mean, if you look at who saw this coming, 2020? Right? Huh. And
Nostradamus.
You know, and so it's just like, how the fuck do you plan for this, right? Yeah. But I would now imagine, you know, people moving into 2021 hoping that'll be a better year. I think there's a lot of people that realize that they need to take a lot of personal responsibility for the things happening in their lives. I'm one of those people.
Yeah.
And how to better plan to cope with things that are beyond your control. And
yeah. Yeah. Well, we're recording this on the first day of 2021.
Yeah.
And I had the thought last night and carrying on into this morning that I feel a lot of people woke up today when going, COVID's over, I'm going back to work, or like somehow the calendar change was going to stop the bullshit that we've been dealing with for a damn near entire year. That ain't happening. This is going to be here for a long time. And I think what this has really shown us, obviously in our lifetime, nothing like this has happened. So what it has shown us is the work you did prior to this, the people that were not prepared mentally to deal with the drama that has been this whole thing. Add to that a very contentious presidential election here in the United States. And you're seeing the reality of people that are not equipped to deal with adversity. And they didn't do the work leading up to this. And if you're young, you have the audacity to just move through life and not really give two shits about it. Something you said a few minutes ago that really struck with me was, I've always had the mantra of to be the best spouse, father, whatever, I have to be happy first. But I can tell you that I did that in my 20s, and probably even into my 30s to some extent, with an extremely selfish attitude. I'm going to do what I want to do, how I want to do, because goddamn it, I have to be happiest before anybody else can. And I did it at the expense of others under the under the guise of, well, that's what's best for me. And then I'm a better father and husband and stuff, which really wasn't the case. And now, as I become more mature and gray and have what I was calling wisdom, we were on a bike ride actually today, and I was joking with some guy that actually called one of the guys smart. And he's like, well, I wouldn't say that I'm smart. Well, we're talking about crashing and avoiding crashing and stuff, because he had pulled to the side to let a much faster rider go through because he knows better than to try to push himself. And that, to me, was both smart and wise. And he goes, well, I wouldn't say I'm smart. And I go, well, you can be smart, but not wise. But wisdom comes from doing stuff and fucking up repeatedly and learning not to do that. And it usually takes more and more and more. So as I've moved through this life that has had a lot of trials and tribulations, as have a lot of people, I feel that I've become more wise. And that is something that I do not think you'll ever use when it comes to a 20-year-old or a pre-20-year-old. You know, somebody that think that's 18, 19, 20 years old, I don't think has the life experience to be called wise. They might be smart as shit, but the wisdom that comes from a life of adversity and how you counteract that is really what draws me to people that are doing the work themselves. And then quite frankly, just one of the reasons I'm drawn to Corey is because I think he's such an open and honest person and aware of himself in ways that a lot of people I don't think are. And then on top of that, as far as going into a business related endeavor, because quite frankly, what we're doing this for is to get sponsorships and then make millions of dollars based off this Remedy podcast. We're going to just be open and honest.
E-bikes are expensive.
They are expensive. Yeah. And babies are expensive. I'm having one. I'd like to buy a house. Probably should buy less e-bikes so I could buy that house. There's a lot of shit. I got a boat I need to build. There's a lot of things that could cost a lot of money. And so I need some sponsors like now. So maybe if anybody listening wants to sponsor this podcast on based on how awesome this first one is, that'd be cool, because I need to be right about the $1 million mark by about the summer, give or take.
Nice.
Yeah. So as we've entered into this business of the Remedy podcast, what I've realized is he's also the perfect counterpoint to my personality. The strengths in his personality are very much the antithesis of my weaknesses and vice versa. And I think that is incredibly important when you're finding people to move through life together. Not that we're getting married anytime soon, although I don't. I'm not saying that.
Just don't take it off the table. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, whatever. This is 2021 and we can do whatever we like. And so I don't think our wives would like it per se, but it's cool. What I found is that finding people that compliment you is incredibly important. And now when I say compliment, not like you're the best back rider I've ever seen.
that would be a lie.
Yeah. But actually compliment you and push you to achieve things. When we're riding mountain bikes, I genuinely like riding with people that are better than me, because it pushes me. If I ride with people where I'm the best rider in the group, I enjoy it. I get value out of it, but it does nothing for my growth at all. And so moving through life with a group of human beings that you're all sitting around doing the same dumb shit, if you know that it's dumb, if you enjoy doing it and that's your activities, great, more power to you. But if you know that you're not where you want to be, and it's because you hang around the group of people that are all doing the same shit that won't lead you to that place, find at least one person that is not like that. And I think your life will change. So finding somebody like Corey to push me in areas that like better me and complement my strengths, complement his weaknesses, and his strengths complement my weaknesses. So as a team, we are better and stronger. And that's something that's pretty unique. And I think as we move through this podcast and we explore a lot of topics, what you'll also find from at least me, and I know Corey probably feels the same way, is it becomes very interesting to start to realize and become aware of why people are doing what they're doing. And you can only do that through the study of yourself. As you start to figure out what makes you tick and you start doing personality profiles and you start reading books on the brain, like how all of this shit works, and you really start to dive into these topics, you start to see the world through a different set of glasses. It's kind of like, well, if you have really bad eyesight, you get a pair of glasses, or when I had LASIK and my eyesight got better over the course of about 3 days, the world becomes much clearer to you, and you start to really become interested in the conversations that you have with people that when you're unaware of life, they're just mindless, whatever. You're just filling time. You're just carrying on conversation. If we're on a 5-hour car ride, we both talk about nonsense for 5 hours. But when you become more self-aware, you become aware of what other people are saying when they're saying it and the things behind it. And that's one of the things I really appreciate about Corey is that he's actually open and is saying these things ahead of time and has pushed me to examine some things about myself as I'm exposing myself to him more.
And yet here I am. Yes. No, I couldn't agree more. we're definitely gonna get the video stuff going so we can prove that to be true. It's huge, you know, for me, it's demystifying the saying that, you know, there's all these books and you have all these specialists and people that are trained to help deal with mental health issues, you know, when I think like most things, the solution is quite simple, and demystifying what it takes to do it. You know, it's a lot of times I'm sure there's other people who feel this way. I know I do, is that when the potential solution to a problem seems quite overwhelming, I'll convince myself that I'll just deal with it.
Oh yeah.
Right. Absolutely. You know, it's just like, well, this is a part of my life that's going to fucking suck. So let me just go ahead and add that to the, you know, the bag of shit I'm carrying around. And if I ever get the opportunity or there's a convenient solution that I can get to it, then great. If not, you know, life sucks and I'll just keep going around. And there was a huge portion of my life that I was surrounded by people that weren't motivated, that everything was happening to them. It had nothing to do with what they were doing. And to a certain degree, I started kind of buying into it, you know, and I developed a pretty negative perspective, you know. And if I knew myself, if I was able to know myself back then, you know, I wouldn't have wanted to be around me now.
Yeah. Right?
You know, and just thinking about the type of person I was being to others, it's like, man, you know. And if you don't have those candid relationships that you and I have where someone just like, hey, you're being a bitch right now, I just fucking just call you out on it, right?
Yeah.
You can develop a confirmation bias because someone doesn't want to be rude or they don't want to tell you what's happening. And so it's implied that behavior is okay.
Yeah.
You know, and I think
that's something we'll definitely talk about as we go through these things, is surrounding yourself with a bunch of yes men that are telling you, you are the greatest, you are the smartest, that's the best idea I've ever heard. And then secretly they know it's not, and they'll talk shit behind your back and stuff. But that's a dangerous place to be.
No, absolutely. You know, and it's hard, you know, like I have conversations with my dad now, and you know, you and I have talked about it and we'll get into it in the podcast, you know, that I did not have a good relationship with my dad. And I wouldn't say that I have a good relationship now. It's just the best it's ever been. Mm. I want to have a good relationship,
yeah,
you know, and I want him to feel good about it. And I want to feel good about it. And I want, hopefully that can be a decent example for my son and in our relationship.
Yeah.
But it's
one of the things that you said right in there that kind of struck me was about surrounding yourself, what the people that you hung out with when you were younger and what they did, or more specifically didn't do, for your growth and awareness and stuff. But I bet you, if I asked you at that time, or even now, you could probably look at it now with the lens of history, and you can look back on it now more objectively than you could at the time. But at that time, if I'd asked you with your five closest friends, who my guess is you're either not associated with them at all now, or if any, probably one at best, and it's very minimal association. But if I had asked you at that time what these people mean to you, you would have said everything. These dudes have my back. They're like, you know, we believe at those periods in our life that those people are the most near and dear people to us. And if they're really holding you back, you can't see it at the time. And then when you move out of that place and you move past some of those relationships, you realize that. And what I was struck with is, as you, and I put a lot of words in your mouth right there, but that's the impression that I got. And because I think we're all like that. We have those friendships that are like, man, this is the most important thing in my life. And I'm watching my daughter with it right now at 19 years old. There are people in her life she believes will be there forever. And we all know, you ain't gonna even know Sally in 6 months, but whatever. Yeah. Especially as they were exiting high school and stuff. Like, you literally will not talk to 99.6% of the people that you know ever again in high school. But when I worked in the jail, one of the tanks that I worked in had an inmate population that was all prior prison. So they're much older gentlemen and had they'd been in and out of jail and prison the entirety of their adult lives off and on. And so they had a meeting one time, a gathering, and they asked me to come in and be part of it as staff. And I actually came in on my time off and did it because it meant a lot to me that they asked that. And I wanted to support them in their efforts at growth. And I thought it was amazing that, that these grown men, inmates, like convicts, and I don't say that in a derogatory term, but you have to understand that lifestyle. These are very hard people. They've lived a very hard life. Sharing and being vulnerable, even amongst men, is very terrifying. And that's amongst men that work at fucking IBM their entire life in a cubicle. I'm talking about these dudes do not show that shit in life. And so for them to get up and stand in front of a whole other group of men and share their trials and tribulations and cry and things like that, that doesn't fucking happen. So being able to be there, witness it, number one, and support it, number two, was amazing. But as I heard them talking, they asked me to talk at the end of it. And one of the things I shared was, you guys keep talking about what you want to change. As I sit in here with you every night and I spend a lot of time with you, more time with you guys than with my family in some instances, I hear this desire to change all the time. And yet you're all my age or older, and you've been doing this shit your whole life. And what is it that you believe these people on the outside who are your fucking friends and your homies, and when you get released, you're going to go right back to that same area and you're going to hang out with the same dipshits and you're getting in the same fucking trouble because you believe that these people have your back. And if you truly believe that, why don't you call some of them on the phone right now and ask them, hey, if there was a program for you to come in and serve 2 months of my sentence for me so I could get out and be home at Thanksgiving or Christmas, or when my mom is dying, or when my child is born. If you can come in and serve my time, they'll let you. Call your fucking friends and ask them how many of those would do that. How many, like, raise your hand right now. How many do you think have a friend that is so good, they'll come replace themselves with you? What if it actually came down to it? And they're all like, not a single fucking one. And I'm like, and yet you're choosing those people over your family. Your kids come in here and visit you behind glass. Your family doesn't get to see you and hug you and all of these things, because of the choices you make with those people. And that was like a huge eye, because my life has not been like that. Like, I don't have the same lifestyle that those gentlemen have and have shared. And so to hear that, and obviously my 20s were different than your 20s. And we'll talk about that in coming time. I was hired as a cop at 22 years old. And so like, that was my life.
Running from the cops at 22 years old.
I wonder if I chased you. That's our lives are very different in that aspect. And so I think it'll be interesting to navigate that together, what that time period of our life looked like, what our third world year in your 30s, you little baby.
Right.
And what that looks like together. So I think it'll be interesting.
No, I mean, it's going to be great, you know, because I personally get so much value out of these conversations, you know, and again, to reiterate, you know, why we're doing this is to help hopefully provide some information and experience, or to invoke a thought that will help someone grow and develop, you know, or even to use this as a resource if you're struggling with something. You know, the reason I brought up confirmation bias, you know, and you know, really evaluating, you know, the people that you're spending your time with, whether it's coworkers or family members or friends, is the fact that when I was in my 20s, I didn't necessarily think that those people had my back. I just didn't have the confidence to have my own opinion about things. Mm. And so I ended up accepting or making myself okay with things that I wouldn't be okay with today because I wasn't confident in my own values and why I felt the way that I did. I think I did what a lot of people do, which is they feel like these things are unique to you and you're the only one that's going through it. And you just try to keep that shit close to the vest, you know, so you don't have to, one, potentially have it used against you. Right. Or, you know, I mean, we don't want to expose ourselves. Right. You know, and the worst lies.
You keep saying that, but yeah. I'm going to get you to do it.
You know, And so it's just, you know, for fear of not being accepted by those people or what have you, you know, so you don't push back, you don't challenge the relationships. And in turn, to go along with that, to not be miserable while doing it, right? You stop challenging yourself, you stop asking questions, and you just start rolling with the flow. And the next thing you know, like I mean, it's so interesting, you know, I try to limit my interaction on social media because of just how polarizing it seems to be right now.
Except for the Twisted Tea memes. Those are the best things ever.
And they are.
They need to not stop for the foreseeable future. Twisted Tea memes are literally the best thing that I think the internet has given us in the last 6 months.
I hope that guy gets a sponsorship. I hope it's kind of like the dude with the cranberry.
Yeah. Know, yeah.
Dog face or whatever his name was. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that became a thing, but hey, whatever. Yeah.
I know.
And I think that's an awesome place to kind of like start wrapping this up for our first intro thing. Because there's, first off, our goal is to not make these 2 and 3 and 7 hour podcasts because ain't nobody got time for that. Secondly, we want to keep it short and sweet and information packed, and the way both of our brains work as we sit here and talk, we both go, ooh, ah, and we will like have rabbit holes to start going down and keep going down. But what I can tell you, what we both hopefully have, you've all gathered over this time with us on our first one, is that we really care. We really care about this. We care about each other. We care about our friends. But as this community and family grows, we do genuinely care about you, and we care about the struggles you're facing and the trials and tribulations that may be similar to ours or completely different, and in some ways, probably way more fucked up. And as we go further into this, we really appreciate you joining us on this journey. We appreciate you giving us the space to have this. And then what I think I would also ask too is that you grow with us. What episode 1 looks like will look like nothing like what episode 100 is going to look like. And I would tell you that both Corey and I can't tell you what episode 100 is going to look like. There's going to be one, but what that looks like, what medium it's on. Again, we'll probably have tons of sponsors, probably more than we need, and we'll have to turn some of those smaller people away. But that's just the way it's going to be, folks. But what we want from you is the space to grow and change. I think my biggest fear with some of the projects I've done in the past is going, okay, I stated I was going to do this, and this is what it was going to look like, and now I'm hemmed in by that very thing. So you're going to hear things about business from us on this Human Awakening podcast. But we both run businesses. We both own businesses. We both have been involved in that. And I think a lot of that stuff ties in very much with people wanting to challenge themselves and struggle with not maybe being in the place they want to be in life. So I think we have a bunch of big backgrounds to draw from, and we really want to be able to explore those uncomfortable spaces and those somewhat comfortable spaces for us. And so we hope that you're going to follow us on this journey, like literally. No, seriously, like really follow us. Push that follow button,
yep.
Like, subscribe, all the fucking things, you know, do all the things, ring the bell, do the thing. And yeah, we need it.
Yeah. And then, you know, share it with people so more people can find it.
Yeah.
That way we can get to those bigger sponsorships faster.
Yeah.
And please understand, right? Like,
and hold those of you, for the record, I don't want to be sponsored by Twisted Tea. Not that I'm against it. It's just, that's not what I want my first sponsorship to be.
Fair enough.
Okay.
But for those that don't know us, right? Those, you know, sponsorship, you know, that's a joke. And that's why it's funny. You can't see us sitting here smiling and laughing. But, you know, Ashley's 100% correct, right? You know, this episode will look nothing like the 100th episode. And I'm excited for that because we will grow and become more proficient, and we will evolve our process and hopefully make it more palatable to others that may not know us directly. And I hope that we can invoke a thought or leave you with a new piece of information with each episode. And in moving forward, each episode will have a topic, and we'll do our best to stay focused and have a complete thought.
You tell yourself that, buddy.
Goals.
You have any idea what goals you're in for?
And you know, and so that way, if there's something specifically that you're looking for, right, that you'll be able to find and identify that type of content specifically. But I think, other than us working out, you know, some of the kinks with this first intro episode is, you know, to, I think would be a cool exercise or thought is for you to kind of sit down, you know, even with pen and paper on your computer, what have you, and really just kind of like write down the list of your interactions with people, you know, like friends, coworkers, things like that. And how would you rate that relationship and the quality of it? And just be this, like, be the first thought exercise is kind of just take stock of the people that you spend your time with and, you know, evaluating, you know, where are you at and are you where you want to be? And are those people where you want to be, you know, and kind of just evaluate what that looks like for you and ask yourself, is this person going to help me get to where I want to be? Is this a reciprocal relationship? You know, does this person impart value in my life in the way in which I add value to theirs? You know, because as we go through the subsequent episodes, right, you know, those people are going to assist and or hinder this process. And you have to learn to look out for those people and what those relationships are doing so that in those moments of weakness, when you're struggling to deal with something, you can hopefully partner up with someone that can help you overcome whatever that next hurdle is or know who to avoid. So
yeah,
it's important because if you take a problem to the wrong person, it might get a whole lot fucking worse.
Mm-hmm. Avoid anybody that knocks on your door asking for money straight away. That's what I always, my grandpappy told me that. I'm just kidding. He didn't tell me that. Well, buddy, I think we're about there, huh?
Yep.
Wrap this one up.
Sounds good.
Good. And hopefully don't have that terrible audio thing on our last attempt on that last thing that we did. And this all goes smoothly. And we wake up to 100,000 subscribers.
Yep. And if you just heard that, it meant it went smoothly.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to catch you on the next one. Thank you for joining us. I don't have a fucking catchphrase for the end. So we're just going to be like, adios, muchacho, or something.
Bye, diddly-eye.